These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How about the game? What are your takeaways from the actual game, Maz?
Well, so again, I thought the Yankees came out immediately after getting their asses kicked 14-1. And, you know, they put up a four spot in the first inning. Sanchez wakes up. Stanton hits one of the triangle. And, you know, I actually still haven't seen that one yet. But, you know, their big guys woke up. Their big guys woke up. They played aggressively, as Austin demonstrated, sliding into second base, like all of it. And then the Red Sox, I thought, showed their own little bit of resolve there by fighting back and making it 8-6. When it was 8-1, I thought, well, here you go. You're going to win 14-1 one night. You lose 14-1 the next. And they clawed their way back to 8-6. So at that point, I thought, they're going to come back and win this game. And then Matt Barnes, to me, did them in. But the game was, you know, obviously competitive, entertaining. I think ultimately the Yankees showed some of the grit they're going to need to show if they're going to get to where they want to go this year. They had to bounce back. You get your ass kicked like that in the opener, if it happens again the next night, then I have serious questions.
From a Red Sox perspective, J.D. Martinez, was that his sort of coming out party?
First big moment, no question about it. Again, you load the bases, you're losing big. It's 8-2 at that point. He comes up, and everybody's thinking the same thing. Everybody's thinking grand slam. And first pitch, he unloads and belts it to, you know, a deep part of the ballpark on a cold night. And so, to me, that was Martinez's first real moment as an impact, and, you know, an impact player in that, a game changer in that Red Sox lineup.
Well, and considering how the Yankees had looked up until, you know, the beginning of that game and them taking that lead, that's a real crap your pants moment, I think, for the team and their fans. When he hits that grand slam, it's like, if you how that team has played thus far, how do you not think, oh, God, here we go again?
If you're the Yankees.
Yeah.
Well, so that makes it 8-6, and then how do the Red Sox respond?
Matt Barnes goes into the game. You know, your offense just gets you back in. Right? Your offense just gets you back into the game. Here you go. And the broadcaster said it at the time, Remy and Dave O'Brien. They said, you know, you got to go out here, so you got to put up a zero. You've got the momentum. You got to keep it. Set him up. Set him down.
And what does Barnes do?
He walks the leadoff man. Walks the leadoff man. Now, here you go. Now there's a man on base. Now the Yankees, you know, now you start something. And this is where the bullpen's a real problem on this team. When you start to really assess, you know, the guys who would be candidates to pitch in the seventh and eighth, any time you put any of them in a key spot, they can't throw a strike. Whether it's Kelly, whether it's Barnes, Carson Smith, forget Hembry. He's a, you know, fifth, sixth inning guy at best. But the other three, any time you put them into a big spot, all of a sudden they tighten up and can't hit the zone.
And I think the RBI, to make it 9-6, came from Stanton. He laced a single up the middle, I think, if I have that right.
Sounds right.
Which was his third RBI of the game. And here's, you know, just a little sidebar for the Yankees and all the booing that Stanton has faced and all the scrutiny that has faced. The last couple of games, like, that Stanton Judge thing has sort of woken up. I mean, that was a real...
And Sanchez.
The real factor last night. Well, so Stanton and Judge in the series so far, 10 of 17. 5 runs scored, a home run, 4 RBI. So, like, you know, Stanton's sort of woken up here, and you're right, Sanchez. Was that you, Murray, said that Sanchez has these ridiculous numbers against David Price?
Yeah.
So that bore out.
He was 6 for 12 after the first at-bat against Price. 6 for 12 with 5 home runs.
Okay. Speaking of Price, tap out?
No, I have to think that this is a legit injury because, you know, what bugged me was after the game, he's talking about, you know, that it was cold.
He said he wasn't hurt. He said it was just cold.
Well, what was the temperature on opening day?
Jim, Stuart, let's hear the Price sound, if you can.
No, I had no pain. You know, even when I came in and did all the stuff for the doctors, you know, I still had no pain. That was tough. You know, those guys didn't quit. You know, they continued to battle. That was a very good sign. You know, it stings to end our winning streak like that, but we'll move on and you know, get him tomorrow.
So he wasn't hurt. He admitted it again. He said his hand. Well, play the second cut, Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, my hand really never warmed up, and my arm felt fine. My arm felt really good. You know, I just, you know, I had no clue where it was going. The bullpen wasn't too bad. You know, I mean, I felt my arm felt better in the game than it did in the bullpen. You know, it loosened up just fine. And, on my hands. You know, it's just I don't really know how to explain it or describe it. You know, it's something I've always had to deal with. This could be Game 7 of the World Series, so it's you got to deal with it. And I didn't do that tonight.
No, that makes no sense, because the opening day against Tampa here was like 36 degrees. It was like the middle of January, and he was aces.
Yeah, so the only difference to me is it's a day game. I don't know. Does that make it any more palatable?
Well, the only difference is that he was facing Sanchez, who has his number, as opposed to Kiermaier or whatever, you know, they have down there in Tampa. That's the difference.
Now, I have to believe he felt something, or his brain told him he felt something because of what's been going on with his arm. There's something else there. I have to believe it. He's been so good. Now, look, I'm always the quickest to jump on this guy and, my mother-in-law an Astro and all that. But since last summer and how he pitched in the postseason, albeit in relief, like, he's been unbelievable. In his first couple of starts this year, he's looked like the best pitcher on the team, or it's a coin flip between him and Sale. I don't know what the hell that was last night. I can't say I'm surprised by it, though. That's the bummer.
I mean, I'm kind of with Murray on this, in that don't you find it startling that he would stand there and say, in my hand just didn't get warm. I mean, you know, this is what it's going to be like in Game 7 of the World Series.
It never warmed up.
It's not going to be 75 in October. Unless it's unseasonably warm, he's going to have to pitch in cold weather in October. And so, like, the fact that he would sit there and say that almost felt to me like, is he going out of his way to not make an excuse? Because he knows it'll come off as an excuse given his history here. And so he's just going to bite the bullet on this one and let it go? Or did he have some tingling in there? And look, the ball wasn't coming out right. I mean, not with the same sort of zip and command and
movement,
all of it.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, how many strikes did he throw? 12?
Yeah, brutal. I mean, and he's a strike thrower, right, for the most part. Even if he doesn't have great stuff, he will be in the strike zone. So, let's see if he makes the next turn. Something doesn't smell right.
If he makes the next turn, does that make it look better or worse?
Worse.
Worse? I mean, you want him to make the next turn, but it wasn't an injury, Murray.
I mean, more than anything else, it's just, and shame on me for thinking after two starts, like, oh, maybe he's turned the corner and he's just going to shut up and pitch and it's going to be fine. It's just going to be the same thing over and over with this guy. There's always going to be something with David Price.
Giveaway coming up in a few minutes. If you want to weigh in on game thoughts as well as the brawl thoughts, by all means. In fact, Ron in Ashland on David Price. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, guys. I can't believe Jim is defending Price after, you know, the last couple of years. But he just, you know, he's a byproduct of facing two AAA rosters, as you call it. Okay, and this is what we're going to be getting from this guy. I think he does need surgery. I think this is just inevitable. You better just lock it down with Sale and the rest of the guys and hope for the best, because this guy is mentally fragile.
Okay,
right,
well,
thanks
for
taking the call, guys.
All right, man, but the first thing you said was a surgery. So is it the arm that's falling, or is he just weak? Did he tap out? Did he just tap out? Did he not feel it? Knew he was facing a big lineup, a guy in Sanchez that he's never gotten out, and just said, that's it. Because that's worse.
It is worse, which is why, like, I hope it's something physical. Because that would be borderline unprecedented. If he, like, got on the mound, gave up four runs in the first inning, and basically said, I don't have it tonight, take me out. What? Like, really? That to me is indefensible. You're going to quit in a regular season game on April 11th? You're going to walk off the mound after one inning? This is why something doesn't smell right. There's something going on there that they don't want to tell us.
Here's Kevin in UMass. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, yeah, so did you hear about what Cora supposedly did to Phil Nevin last night?
Yes, we haven't hit on that yet, Maz. I knew you wanted to weigh in on that.
So this is what, you know, Nevin, if you remember watching the brawl, Nevin was going bananas.
Yeah.
And everyone, now, Nevin is a player, another hardo.
Nevin was the old guy who wouldn't calm down if you know who we're talking about.
Yeah, I think he's wearing number 53, and he's a third base coach for them, or one of them anyway. And as a player, total hardo. I mean, he was the number one pick in the draft, that guy. And so, you know, has a intense, hard-ass kind of reputation. I saw him losing his mind, and I thought, typical Phil Nevin. As it turned out, and the Yes cameras caught it, I think, Nesson didn't, Cora at one point kind of shoot him away. Like, yeah, go back to your little hole there at third base. Get out of here. And this is becoming a bigger story in New York today because they're pissed at him. They think this is a bigger deal than anything that went on in the field.
Why?
That Cora was sort of dismissive and disrespectful of someone else on the staff. It's causing a stink down there. This is, and I'll tell
a
you.
A little backhand flip of the hand?
So I'll tell you, though, you didn't see it.
I still haven't seen it.
So
would you cue it up for me?
It's not like, you know, but it's like, just go back, you know? And it was, I can see where it would have irritated him. I can see where it would have irritated him because it's like, you're not worth my time. Get out of here.
Well, Kevin, at UMass, you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I just think it's awesome. Like, the thing about Farrell doing that, like, he would never do that. And that's what these young players should get fired up about. Like, new manager, he's dragged.
But it was in reaction to what Nevin was doing. Nevin was overreacting to begin with.
Right. During the scrum, I think guys were yapping, and there was apparently some stuff coming from the dugout. And Nevin started yelling back at the Red Sox dugout, and Cora said, just go back to your little hole at third base. You know, get back into your little box over there. Close the door and shut up. And my guess is a lot of it had to do with Nevin's reputation as a player. Cora probably knows him from a player, and I think other guys hated Nevin as a player. And, again, I told you earlier, I was talking to John Harper of the Daily News this morning, and he said that he called around, and some other baseball people said the Yankees are going to be a hell of a lot more pissed about that than they are about Tyler Austin taking a fastball in the back.
All right, then I got to see this thing. We got to put it on the side. We got to find this. If this is going to be – if this is what the retribution over, then all right. That's good to know.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blood force drum and run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Getaway center. Gardner back, turning around. Oh, he did it! He knocked it out of here for a granny! And the Red Sox are back in the game!
Go back in your little box. Go stand in your box. I mean, that's clearly what he was doing.
So, like, see, I think long-term for the Red Sox, that's a good sign.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does show you a little bit of that Cora attitude that's under there that people don't know about. And, like, maybe that's the first time people have seen it. To me, he's got some of that. Like, there's a little bit of arrogance there with Cora. Like, yeah, all right, just shut up and go away.
Go stand in your
shoo, Nevin. Shoo away.
Go stand in your box.
Right.
I love that.
Stand at third.
John in Connecticut. What do you got?
Gentlemen, how are you? If I can go back to the fight for a minute last night. Going back to the Holt thing with the slide, which was, it's not a good slide. You can't go in spikes up. I watched the post game with Holt, and the interview done with him is basically, I call him spineless and the team puppet, because he says it's not his thing to get involved with, and they have a lot of big guys over there. You're a grown man. Somebody just tried to take you out on a bunt, and he did nothing about it. And then if you watch the brawl, he's nowhere to be found in it. You know what? Nope. This is all about him. You know, the guy doesn't even deserve a uniform. There's a lot of other people that are capable of doing what he's doing, which is nothing. He's been hung around on his team for how long?
So that last piece I agree with. People love Brock Holt, and he hangs around, and I think he's an overrated ball player too. Okay, so that part I agree with. Do we have a problem with him not being more involved in the fight?
No. No. I mean, at that point, that became about Austin and Kelly. You know, Kelly challenged him to the fight. Like, what's the issue there? So, I mean, in a lot of ways, I think Holt acted totally right. You know, he expresses displeasure with being spiked at second base, but he didn't start a fight. He didn't make a huge deal out of it. I thought he overreacted a little. Like, you know, all right, you got hit. Say something later. Say something like, you know, you could have done it in a different way. But overall, to me, the big culprit there was Austin.
I mean, he was joking after the game, Jimmy. If you could play the cut, the second, or I guess it's the first Holt cut that you had. You know, he was joking about not wanting to get involved with the big guys. Go ahead.
I didn't grab anyone. As soon as you see Judge or Stanton come in there, you know, I think they were one of the first two on in the first scuffle, and, you know, I start backing up at that point.
So, I mean, what's he supposed to do? Act all tough? Like, I was going to take him on. Like, no. Stanton probably, or Judge has 100 pounds on him. So, no, I'm not taking that guy on.
I thought he overreacted a little on the slide, but Austin was really the source of every problem that happened in that game.
Scott in Connecticut, hi.
Hey, fellas, how you feeling today?
Good, what do you got?
Oh, you know I usually come strong, but today I've been trying to warm up my mouth, and I've been trying to warm up my voice cords, and it's just not working out, so I might not really bring a strong take today. That's a David Price reference, by the way. So these baseball fights, let's all hug each other. Oh, by the way, let's all run out of the bullpen together. Like, woo! Yeah, we're going to a thing. Two teams together, and then we'll separate and hug each other. Can we just all get over this? Like, really? And Brock Holt does not deserve a uniform. I would 100%
agree with
that. All right,
so are people really pissed at Brock Holt? What did you expect him to do? Like, I would think that the first confrontation, okay, where Austin clearly spikes him, Holt says something to him, as he should, but I don't think Holt overreacted. I mean, you think he overreacted? I think he just turned to him and said, like, what was that? And then, you know, that toolbox, Austin, starts doing his bro thing. Like, what do you mean, bro? You have a problem? You know, at that point, maybe Holt could have done something right there, I guess. I don't know. But to me, when they're in that pig pile and Aaron Judge has thrown himself in the middle of it, what do you want him to do there?
I don't have an issue with Holt in the brawl. I mean, I'll go back and look at it, and I suppose there's every chance he was just hanging out there at shortstop and didn't run in, but that's not what struck me. What struck me is that Betts took a hell of a lot longer to get to that thing than anyone else did.
But overall, no, fights aren't what they used to be, which is too bad, but, you know, I'll take what I could get. I'll take what I could get, and last night at least I got a little something.
I mean, last night was a good one, relatively speaking.
Compared to what we usually get.
You never get punches thrown anymore. You never see that.
Ryan and Derry, David Price thought. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to know if you think that the whole hand thing was just him scapegoating for a crappy performance and saying that, you know, he couldn't feel his hand because he gave 4 runs in the inning. I just want to know.
Little bit, Ryan. Little bit. I don't want to say that he quit or totally faked it. I'm sure he felt something. So I'm not telling you that he totally made it up. But if that were the Tampa Bay Rays out there, I think he would have stayed in the game. As opposed to that Yankees lineup, Sanchez, who came into the game with a 2,000 OPS against him. Didn't you tell me what it was before the game?
Yes, yeah. His OPS was over 2,000. Yeah.
So he's got, you know, he's already given up the two-run bomb to Sanchez. He's just given up what should have been a homer to Stanton, but it was a triple off the 420 sign. It was cold as balls. He wasn't feeling right, and he took himself out. He wasn't hurt. He isn't hurt. He admitted he wasn't hurt after the game. He admitted after the game he didn't. There was no pain. He went out and threw today and had a good session, was fist-bumping coaches on the way off the field. He's fine.
Which is an even worse look.
He's not hurt. He wasn't hurt last night. I think he didn't want to be there.
I mean, that blows my mind. It does. It blows my mind that a guy would come out of a game like that. And you know, the other thing is when you really think about it, he was out of the game after an inning. Right? He's out of the game early. The game went 4 hours. And he was still there afterward, right? And when I say still there, he hung around clearly to answer questions about it. Because a lot of guys in and out like that would skip out and no one would have a huge problem with it because the game was so long and he was out so long ago. So he clearly made a point of sticking around. To me, like, I don't know, that just doesn't smell right. That's unthinkable to me. A guy would walk off and just walk off the mound like that.
But again, I'm not telling you that he flat out quit or that. I'm sure he felt something. And it was enough to say, you know, and for them to say, and the team is being overly protective and all of that. But if that were an easy lineup, I don't know. I mean, what was the difference in conditions last night? But of course, opening day, as Murray pointed out, it was cold as balls the opening day, too. And he was 7 shutout, wasn't he? Tim in Pittsfield, go ahead.
Okay, I got a couple things. One for each of you here. Maz, who do you want to see still in the lineup, Vasquez or Kelly? I don't care that Vasquez didn't go out and help Kelly, but because he's more important to the team. If somebody's going to jam a shoulder, let it be Kelly. All right, Soldier, for you, I'd like to say, maybe I'll finish these and let you listen in later, but Soldier, for you, I'd rather see Holden in the lineup tonight and Chara out. If you look at the slide.
Oh, would you stop? They're not taking Chara out.
Come on now. Wait a minute. Look at Chara's stands in front of the net. He can't move.
Tim.
I like the guy. I thought he had a great career, but it's done.
Okay, unrealistic. They're not benching Chara for Nick Holden. Would you stop? Chara's no worse than your second defenseman. So he's been fine this year. He's been good. I think he's in trouble this series. Tough matchup for him. But they're not benching him. That's stupid. Matt in the car on David Price. What did you think of Price last night?
Oh, he was awful. But first things first on that fight. Major League Baseball has got to do something about these stupid fights that turn 3.5-hour games into 4+. They've got to do what the NBA does. You leave the bullpen, you leave the dugout, you're automatically suspended. And if two guys want to fight, let them fight. But they're not going to fight because they're a bunch of Nancys, and they're all big, tough guys when they know people are pouring out of the dugouts in the bullpen that's going to separate them before even punch is thrown. I'm so sick of these stupid Major League Baseball fights. They need to do something about them.
I think we need more of them.
All right, that was wildly entertaining.
Oh, it was great.
I didn't even care if it went 4 hours.
Now, did they need a full half an hour to sort it all out?
No, like, of course not.
That got stupid.
No, like, of course it gets stupid.
I mean, go to the video. You know, you can. You don't have to. You don't have to figure it all out there on the field right then and there. You know, Austin's out, Kelly's out. Those are the obvious ones. You probably missed some things in the pile. Pick it up on video and let the league office deal with it over the weekend. Play ball. Get back to your dugouts and let's keep playing. But I like the fact that baseball is the only sport where you can leave the bench now. I mean, that's the only place you can do it. The bullpens do get a little stupid.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Please, it takes those guys forever to get there. It's all over by the time they show up. And so, but the only reason they, if you're asking me, the only reason they let the dugouts empty and that they haven't put some sort of rule in place is because I think it's a deterrent.
Well, it's not that. It's not that. I'll tell you why it is. Because it's not like football, basketball, or hockey where it's 5-on-5. It's 1 against 9. So if one guy goes out there,
good point,
and then those other guys come in, and that's what I've always heard was why you have to do it, because it's 1-on-9. So they have to even it up, and the next thing you know, everybody's out there. The bullpens is fair. Like, there's enough people in the clubhouses and the dugouts there to handle the thing without your bullpen catcher coming out there.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It takes them forever to come in, but that's a good point. It's a good point with the 1-on-9. I never thought.
Felger and Maz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
There are a few Patriots developments that we should get to. We should never have a day where there's not some Patriots updates. So here's one of them. Could it be that the Patriots are most interested, or the quarterback coming out of the draft that they are most interested in, is Lamar Jackson, the former Heisman Trophy winner in Louisville? Mike Freeman of the Bleacher Report wrote on Wednesday that teams who have met with Jackson since the combine were impressed with his intelligence and football acumen. He added that sources believe the Patriots are the team most interested in drafting the Louisville quarterback. Jackson is widely projected as at least a late first or early second round pick. The Patriots hold picks 23, 31, 43, 63. Add Freeman's report, and this I'm reading from, I think, our website. Add Freeman's report to a recent story by fellow NFL writer Charles Robinson, who detailed the relationship between Bill Belichick and Louisville and the Patriots' pipeline of information on Jackson. Patriots Director of Player Personnel Nick Caserio also attended Jackson's pro day workout. Another person who apparently wouldn't mind Jackson coming into the fold to Foxborough, Murray, is Tom Brady.
What?
Saw this.
Okay, the NFL Network's Bucky Brooks put out an Instagram post or a tweet or something that said that he believes Bill Belichick wants a player like Lamar Jackson to be his next quarterback. And I think the fuller context was is that after he faced Deshaun Watson, Belichick said he would like a player like that. He would like a player like Lamar Jackson to be his next quarterback. And that's according to Bucky Brooks of the NFL Network. To which Deion Sanders apparently weighed in, and then someone who liked it or commented to Deion Sanders was Tom Brady, who said of Lamar Jackson, he's a beast, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, and then a thumbs up emoji.
Wow.
Your thoughts?
I mean, again, I'm anti-drafting a quarterback in this year's draft, but because I'm a Brady Bobo, whatever Tom wants, I want.
Oh, no. Really?
No, look, I still they should be using those high picks because it looks like he's going to go maybe the bottom of the first round, maybe in the early second round. I still don't want them using any of those picks on a quarterback. No, it's about surrounding Brady with talent, filling those holes on defense because there's so damn many. Find a left tackle. Don't draft a quarterback. I'm steadfast with that.
So to me, the interesting part of the story is that Brady commented on it and that, you know, is lauding this guy as a good player. Did he do that for Garoppolo? I don't remember.
I don't remember any thumbs up emojis for Garoppolo.
I think when Garoppolo was on the sideline, Brady gave him the finger, for crying out loud.
He gave him the ass emoji.
Oh, my God, did he ever. So, like, I look at this and I say there's probably a couple of elements at play here. Number one, Brady knows he'll be gone by the time this guy's ready to play, so the guy's not a threat to him, first and foremost. And then secondly, and it's probably the first thing more than the second, but the secondly, you know, the Garoppolo thing was not a great look. And so he knows this kid's not going to be a threat, and why not enhance the image a little bit too by making it look like you're endorsing the next guy?
Maz, no one's going to be a threat in the first year.
Right, but right. So this is what I'm saying, is that on top of it, he can get a little image bump out of it, right? He's going to get an image bump out of it on top of it.
It's not that he really likes him and thinks he can play?
I think that's last on the list.
It doesn't necessarily mean that he wants him to get drafted to play with the New England Patriots. He's just pumping the kid up. He likes his game. That's about it.
Your next quarterback is Lamar Jackson. How do you feel about that?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I think, and you know, you said the story said that Belichick wanted a guy like Deshaun Watson?
According to Bucky Brooks, after playing Deshaun Watson and seeing that kind of player, that he believes Bill Belichick wants a player like Lamar Jackson to be his next quarterback.
Yeah, I think Josh McDaniels wants someone like Lamar Jackson to be his next quarterback.
Interesting.
So, to me, I just think that McDaniels likes the mobile guy. I don't know why I feel that way, but I do. And I think that, you know, he drafted Tebow. And so I look at this and say, sure, why not? I mean, don't you think in a lot of ways it's exactly them? In other words, lots of guys are getting the hype now. This guy's stock dropped because he won the Heisman 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think that it's totally...
Well, this thing's picking up steam. Remember, this was Damon Amendola's crackpot theory he wrote about for CBS Sports saying that the Patriots have actually been in his ear to help his stock drop so that they can pick him late in the first round. They say, represent yourself.
And don't throw. Right?
Don't run the 40, because right. We know what your speed is. I mean, Mike Vick was on NFL, SiriusXM NFL radio, saying this is the closest guy I've seen to me. I mean, he's electrifying. I don't know.
Like, okay, well, there you go. Lamar Jackson, next quarterback of the Patriots. How would you feel about it? On Tom Brady, quickly, he's going to Qatar as part of a Best Buddies event coming up this weekend, which means, according to Burt Breer, he might not arrive back in time for the Patriots' first off-season workout on Monday. That's nothing other than, you know, we're going to keep an eye on where these guys are at this offseason. You know, Gronk, Edelman now, and of course Tom Brady. And are they spending more time at TB12 or with the team? And this is why I want that stakeout at the back door of TB12, so we know exactly where Tommy's spending his time. And I think, you know, and rightly so, after all this carrying on social media, I think it's fair for us to see exactly where they're at, where they're spending their time, and that's a story worth monitoring. And so Tom Brady, if he's not there on the first day of workouts, even if he's just a day late, I think that's going to draw some notice. That's just the nature of the beast, and I think the players have helped create this with all of the things that they've said and written on social media. So I think it's fair game, and it will be fair game. I'd be stunned if Brady does not attend 95% of the workouts. He's going to be there. I can't believe that he would allow us to sit here and say he's holding out, he's not reporting, he's not there. You know, or he's just wildcat strike. He's staying away. Like, I can't believe that Brady would give us those optics and allow us, meaning fans and media, to go that far with it. He's going to be there, whether it's day one or day two. He's going to be there, and he's going to be there most every day. That's my prediction. Thirdly, new Gronk post on Instagram.
Yes, yeah, that went up 4 hours ago. Black and white photo of Gronk looking lean and mean. And it reads as follows. You see the play. You see the fun. You see me go down hard. All capitalized. They've been saying for years I wouldn't last since their eyes first saw it all. Just because you can't do it don't mean I can't. It's all about putting that sweat and tears in before hitting that stage. I know I can get out of control, but I'm in control. Hashtag bands that make her dance. I read into this like I read into all of these.
Please do translate.
I see some shots at the coach, potentially.
Where?
Well,
you know what? So do I. That's
where
funny.
I don't. I didn't see a thing.
Go ahead, Murray.
So I'll start.
I want to see if yours is the same as mine.
I'll start again. You see the play. You see the fun. You see me go down hard, Coach. They've been saying for that. Bill's been saying for years, I wouldn't last since his eyes first saw it all. But Bill, just because you can't do it, you know, the pliability, the working out the way that I do now, just because you can't do it and you don't understand it, Bill, doesn't mean I can't. It's all about putting in that sweat and tears in before hitting that stage. I know I can get out of control, Coach, but I'm in control, so let me do what I want to do and let me work out the way that I want to work at. Hashtag, gimme that money. Bands of Maker dance. Peel it off, make me dance, and leave me alone, you taskmaster a-hole.
See, I'm a little bit more on that.
Well, that is reading into it, I'll tell you that. But the Bands of Maker Dance, have we read that properly?
Well, so I think that there is a secondary or maybe even a primary message with the Bands of Maker Dance that we've missed.
Resistance bands.
Yes, resistance bands. I mean, look, the song is about money.
Right.
Okay. Gronk might not be the most, like, literal person in the world, right? Like, he would look at it and go, yeah, bands. I work out with bands. Like, this is about the bands. And then more importantly, I'm sorry, the Guerrero theme is the one consistent theme in all of this. Brady and Guerrero, Edelman posts a video of Guerrero. Now Gronk's putting a thing out there, and I'm with you on the commentary, Murray, about, you know, you said I wouldn't last, right? Because the questions about Gronk were always about durability, the bad back, the injuries, they can't keep him on the field.
But is he talking to haters or is he talking to Bill?
Bill.
What haters does Rob Gronkowski have?
I don't know.
Outside of the old grump coach who wants him to work out the old-fashioned way.
Bill.
You don't think there's people who think that he's not durable and can't make it?
I think Bill thinks that. Dependability is better than ability. Again, what you're talking about the tenet of Foxborough, for crying out loud. Stay on the field. When they sit down and negotiate, what do you think the number one thing the Patriots use against
games
Gronk
played.
Is? Absolutely. So here's Gronk saying, hey, you know what? I did play in 14, 15 games last year, whatever the hell it was, right? One of them was a suspension. But I was healthy enough to play in 15 of the games last year. And I'm doing it this way with this guy now, and I feel better than I ever have before. You said I wouldn't last. I'm using the bands, and I want you to start paying me like I'm a stripper.
Yeah, who hates Bill? The only people that hate Rob Gronkowski are Tre'Davious White and Bills fans, and probably the coach. So to me, I read all this stuff as shots at the coach. That's all. Or just little messages, subtle little messages.
I'm with Murray, totally. Yep, I'm working out with my bands. You can go lift your weights. I'm playing in 16 games again.
Okay. We thank God we have you guys, because I didn't really read anything into that.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
Austin was that base runner at second base. Looked like he got a piece of Brock Holt. The bench is cleared after that. And that's why he gets drilled here. He slams the bat. Now he's making a move, and here he comes on the run, and now fisticuffs as Kelly's being tackled and punches being thrown. The dugout's empty. Here come the bullpens again, and this time it's for real.
But back to the phones as promised. Jeff in Manchester. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, boys? First time in a long time.
Welcome.
Matt, I got a question for you. How can you defend Vasquez? If you watch it again, I mean, first of all, Kelly missed the pitch before, and you could tell the guy wasn't happy. And then the guy takes 3 to 4 steps before Kelly, which I love, said, bring it on. And then he charged him out, which he shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't have got there. I mean, so I just can't – I don't know why you defend that.
Jeff, I'm not defending Vasquez. If it came off that way, then I didn't say it right. So that one's on me. Inexcusable what Vasquez did. How are you not ready for that? That was my point. If it came out wrong, then, again, that part's on me. But no, indefensible.
I think what you said is he won't do that again.
No, no, he won't.
The next time there's a bear hug.
Oh, no, no. I think someone will get to him and say, and I might even be the manager. Like, hey, look, next time that happens, first thing you do, run to the other side and make sure he doesn't get to the mound. First thing you do.
Here's Andrew in Boston on David Price's night. How'd you feel about it, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, if you're Alex Cora and David Price comes out and you say, well, what's going on? And he says, oh, yeah, I can't feel my hands. What are you supposed to do? Just send him back out for a second? No, you can't leave him in there. You got to take him out right away.
So the Red Sox are being overly cautious. I got it. I'm just telling you, he wasn't hurt. He wasn't hurt last night. He's not hurt today. He wasn't hurt. He was never hurt.
Yeah, but if Cora leaves him out there, and then after the game, Price gets shelled the next 2 innings, and he says, yeah, I couldn't really feel my hands, people are saying to Cora, why do you leave him out there? Yeah, you can't feel his hands. You got to pitch with your hands.
Again, I'm not second-guessing the team.
I'm just thinking, you said he gave up, and I don't think it was his decision to not want to be there. I just think that he wasn't in any shape with his hands to be pitching. I don't think he didn't want to be there. I don't think he wanted to just give up.
I don't think he wanted to be there. I think his hand, I think he felt something, and I think the team is being overly cautious, which they've been with everybody. So again, not at one point have I blamed the team. You know, they're slow with Kimbrel, they're slow with all Sale, they're slow with all these guys. They're taking a certain approach early on in the year, and so they hear if any one little thing is wrong with the guy, they're taking him out. Okay, they're consistent with that. Price let him know one little thing was wrong, but he wasn't hurt. He said it. I mean, Jimmy, play the cut. Play Price one. He wasn't hurt last night, wasn't hurt today, had no pain, zero pain. Price one.
No, I had no pain. I had no pain. you know, even when I came in and did all the stuff for the doctors, you know, I still had no pain. That was tough. You know, those guys didn't quit. You know, they continued to battle. That was a very good sign. You know, it stings to end our winning streak like that, but we'll move on and you know, get them tomorrow.
So if that was the Rays lineup out there, would he have told the team that he had a tingle in his hand?
No, I don't think he'd have given up four runs in the first inning. And so didn't he also say, I've dealt with this before, I've had to deal with this?
I have not heard that. I don't know. I mean, Jimmy, play the second one while we're here.
Yeah, I mean, my hand really never warmed up. And my arm felt fine. My arm felt really good. You know, I just, you know, I had no clue where it was going. The bullpen wasn't too bad. You know, I mean, I felt my arm felt better in the game than it did in the bullpen. You know, it loosened up just fine. And, you know, my hands, you know, it's just, I don't really know how to explain it or describe it. But, you know, it's something I've always had to deal with. This could be game seven of the World Series, so it's, you got to deal with it. And I didn't do that tonight.
Something I've always had to deal with.
Yeah, so what does he mean by that?
Right, is that a residual effect of the unique elbow? Did he have a nerve issue? Like, what is going on there? I would rather believe that this is a physical thing than a mental thing, but if he's out there throwing long toss today and fist-bumping trainers and he looks fine, then it sounds like it's a mental thing. And that's worse.
He wasn't hurt. That's all I'm saying. I mean, he says he wasn't hurt. He wasn't hurt. That's all. Pete and Essex, go ahead. What do you got?
So, Brock Holt deserves to get spiked for backing down from a rookie. I mean, Joe Kelly pissed off the same player, gave him a running start towards him, and took him on. But that's beside the point. What I took from last night is, don't you feel better about this team after last night compared to how you felt about the 2017 thoughts after the Orioles fight?
So, Maz, answer that question.
For sure. Yes, for sure, that part of it. I think they're, you know, the Red Sox are getting an awful lot of credit today for responding, quote-unquote, the right way this time. The fact of the matter is they still botched it. It took them a couple of tries to hit the kid. Okay, that's number one. And secondly, should we really be giving them credit for that? Last year was borderline, like, disgusting, the way they acted and how they handled the thing. So, like, all of a sudden now we're going to give them, like, this great deal of credit for it?
I mean, I loved Cora. That thing with Nevin is great that you showed me. That was awesome. And I loved Joe Kelly. I mean, again, I think he's an incompetent. He couldn't hit him properly or hit him on the first pitch, but the waving him out was tremendous. And I think the overall team response of standing up for themselves is fine. It's more than fine. It's good. Good sign for the Red Sox. But even in all of that, we can pick out individuals and say, Vasquez, uh-uh.
He whiffed.
A lot of callers have said Brock Holt, just what that caller said, back down from a rookie. Bad look. Mookie Betts, last guy into the pile, and then pretty much spent most of it on the outfield grass with Jackie Bradley laughing. And in an unrelated story, David Price may or may not have tapped out of the game because he just didn't feel right. You know, like, so there's still some things to look at there and individually and go, are all 25 doing the thing that we want them to do?
Yeah, no, it's not perfect yet. I mean, last year was a joke, really. Last year was like you'd take the whole lot of them and laugh at them, for crying out loud. At least this year there was some fight there. And, look, I also don't think – I thought he was going in a different direction. I don't think we should ignore the fact that they were down 8-1 and came back to 8-6. Like, last year, they might have just, I don't know if they had quite the same fight, and this year it feels like they do.
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.